Welcome to Jeremy Just with Coaches. Danya Smita today is my guest. My name is Jeremy West. I'm your host. Danya, welcome.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
What country are you in, Danya?
Now I'm in Tunisia. It's in North Africa.
Tunisia. And you say now, are you from somewhere else?
I'm a Swiss and Tunisian.
Oh, Swiss.
So I used to live in Switzerland and Tunisia, but now mostly living in Tunisia with my family.
Swiss French or Swiss German or?
Both. My mother is originally from the German part, but as my father does not speak German, so we moved to the French part.
So how many languages do you speak?
I do speak 4 languages.
Fantastic. I'm just trying to master English, and then I'd love to learn a second one. All right. Well, welcome, Danya. Good evening to you, a good very late evening to you, getting close to midnight, and good morning where I'm from in Australia. So can you just give us a brief introduction to Danya Smita? Who are you and how did you come to the world of coaching?
Yes. So I'm a mom of 3. I used to be in another world. I was a chemical engineer and I worked in corporate for several years, like 17 years. And at the end of those 17 years, it was a lot of stress, a lot of overwhelm. So I decided to be coached myself. And I discovered this new world of coaching, mindset, and so on. So I decided to move on and go for coaching full time. And now I'm supporting people that were like me a few years ago.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's similar to my story. I found a coach myself when I had been depressed and I went to a psychologist and that helped to a degree. But then when I got to the point where I was no longer depressed, they kind of said, okay, that's enough. We don't need to see you anymore. And I was like, but I've got no direction. I don't know what I want to do next. And that's when a friend introduced me to a coach. And it was, and then I fell in love with it as well. And so we both ended up in coaching because we had a good coach, I guess.
Exactly. And I think we can find a lot of good coaches. And sometimes you can, you feel comfortable with one in particular. And this gives you really the oxygen, let's say, to continue and to discover this world more and more.
Yep. So you say your clients are you 5, 10 years ago. Can you describe a little bit more about the people that are attracted to your coaching, Danya?
I would say, this person that is lying in bed in the morning and hearing the alarm, and they want just to switch off this alarm and stay in bed. They don't have the courage to wake up, to take care of themselves, they don't have this energy to go through the whole day. In my case, also to take care of the kids in the morning, to take them to school, to go to work, and so on. This is kind of person that on the paper, everything is fine. You have a good job, a well-paid job, a healthy family and so on. But still, there's something that does not resonate. This alignment is missing. So I'm attracting this kind of people where overwhelm and stress has a large part of their life. It's taking over their life. And the idea is to combat this and to conquer life again.
Fantastic. So it sounds like, that sounds a lot like me. It sounds like the kind of people who sort of, they followed all the society's rules, got a good job, got a house and kids and a partner and all of that stuff. And they're still not happy. There's something missing.
Exactly. And you know what is surprising me? It's that a lot of people like this, we think when we are at that stage, let's say, that we should be happy. Everything is fine. But still, it's normal to be like this. This is life. This is responsibility. This is how parenting is and so on. So being or accepting this situation, a lot of people are accepting it. While we can challenge that and we should not accept that situation.
Yeah, life could be so much more.
Yes. And you know, I don't encourage people to quit their job to become a coach. I'm just saying that you, of course, I could have stayed longer in my corporate and enjoying it after being coached and learned a lot of things. Of course I could. But in my particular case, I like education. This is one of my value and also sharing. So I wanted to go to a next level, to really take everything that I have learned also to support others.
What would you say, Danya, is the core philosophy behind your coaching, which I would expect to be similar to your core philosophy behind life?
I would say that you don't need to look for outside because you have everything inside of you. It's just a matter of how to see it. What is the reference that you used to have? It's a matter of changing the reference, changing the map that you have. And it's not about looking outside. Yeah, I would say that is my main philosophy. You can find everything within you.
And that's, I guess, a huge thing with coaching is we're not giving you advice or telling you what to do or any of that. We are drawing out of you that wisdom that's already inside of you.
Exactly. And I think this is the first thing that I didn't know about coaching before. And when I started learning to be a coach, this is the first thing that hit me, that you are not supposed to give solution, you're not supposed to give, okay, you give direction, but not how they should do it. And it appeared to me so difficult. I said, but why do we need a coach then at the end of the day? But it's not a consultant that will bring you the solution. You really have to do the work yourself. And the coach is here just to make it visible for you.
Yeah, 100%. It's so much, it's like magical because I've spent time with clients and at the end of the hour, they will say, oh my God, thank you so much. You've given me so much, so many ideas and this and that. And I have to tell them, no, I didn't. I just asked you questions. You came up with all of those ideas. There's something magical about it where they feel like you've given it to them when all you've done is draw it out of them.
Exactly. And I also, what I learned is if you want to push also and give like direction and so on, it will return back to you negatively because you might think, coach, that, oh, wow, you're great. You gave the solution. Well done. But, and so on. But then maybe it doesn't fit to that person. And the result will be even worse because maybe you'll give them so much hope about a solution that you thought is the solution, but at the end of the day, it doesn't work. So even from a perspective of alignment to yourself, it's better that not to give solution, to think as a coach that you didn't support, but then the client will find the solution by himself and he will be even happier because he knows now that he can do the things by himself the next month or year when you are not.
That's right. 100%. Could you go ahead then and share a success story with us of a client of yours who, by having you there to do that with them, they had success in whatever it was they were looking toward? Or even in something that they didn't even know that they wanted yet.
Actually, I will share a story that for me, it's very powerful. However, from the concrete side, you will not find something concrete, but I will explain why for me this is important.
So I forgot to say, just if you use any names, don't use their real name.
No, I would say it's a woman. So it's a woman. 1 year ago, she told me, I don't know what to do. I don't know who I am. And I just want to have the solution. Who I am. She wanted just to understand who she was. After 1 year, she didn't know. She still doesn't know. But at least she's satisfied with her today's life. Because for me, so on the paper, let's say it's not a success, what I'm telling you, but as a coach and she as a person, she feels now aligned with herself. Maybe she doesn't know what will happen tomorrow. She doesn't know what will happen 3 or 6 months. But at least today, she's satisfied with herself. She can live with herself without being like before, trying 1 million things, doing so many things just to escape her reality, let's say. And today, she wants to take the time and enjoy without running and wanted to know what will happen tomorrow. So for me, this is a success in itself because it teaches us to enjoy the moment and not to fill our time with so many things just to know what will happen tomorrow.
Yeah, I love that story. I'm a mindfulness coach myself, so that speaks to me because to me, everything is about this moment, which is the only moment that actually exists. The past is only now exists in memories. The future is a very just only exists in very, very inaccurate predictions. But the here and now is the one thing that exists. And acceptance,
yes.
Just sounds like as much as she's done, acceptance of the here and now is paramount in my mind. So that resonates with me.
Great. I usually hear stories of this person was successful. She multiplied her, I don't know, income by 10 and so on. But for me, this example is a concrete example of how I see also success for my clients.
Yeah, because to me, the ultimate goal, no matter what anyone says their concrete goals are, all of those goals, the real thing they want is to be happy. And people think that meeting these certain goals is what's going to make them happy, but that's just an exterior thing. So I listen to a lot of comedians and they'll climb the ladder of success in comedy and get to the point where they're selling out Madison Square Garden. I think that's the biggest venue in America or something. And they're still not happy. They're looking out at the audience and going, everybody's laughing, but that except that one guy in the third row, why isn't he laughing? Why am I not good enough to make him laugh? And
oh my
when you make, yeah, with all the, you hear these stories all the time of people who get to the top of whatever field they're trying to get to the top of, and they find, oh, no, that still doesn't make me happy. So the here and now is what really matters.
Yeah. For me, two things changed my perspective as well is, like you said earlier about the moment and the future actually will be the present at some point. So mm-hmm. there is no future. So this, it hit me, but it took time for me to digest it and to understand it. And this is what I like in personal development, because sometimes you can hear things, people can tell you things, but you don't understand it to the fullest. And when you advance in this journey, each time there are new concepts that you discover and say, ah, okay, this is what they have meant with there is no future. Because at the end of the day, you have to live the future one day. So it's not the future anymore. It's the present. So if you're not enjoying your present, you will never enjoy your future.
Yeah. That's still right. Because in my 40s, The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle is one of my all-time favorites. But early in my 20s, my mother had it and I picked it up and tried to read it. And I just thought, oh man, this is just a bunch of nonsense fluff. It doesn't even say anything. So yeah, it took me 20 years to get to the point where now it means everything to me. And at one point it meant nothing to me.
Yes, I cannot have the exact experience that than you because I didn't read it before. I read it like maybe 6 months ago and I had to reread it to understand better. And even though I read it maybe 3 months in between, so it already gave me more insights. But for me, it's also one of the books that changed me, but hit me the most, I think. And I was happy I read it at this point, at my 20s, because then I will have to throw it.
Yeah. Have you read 4,000 Weeks?
Oh, no.
Oh, well, I'll recommend that to you and to the listeners.
Yeah,
because it sounded like you had read it with a couple of the things that you said. It's written by a man who was a productivity expert. So his job was, he was basically a coach to help people pack as much as they could into their days. And he's flipped to the other side. It's called 4,000 weeks because that's about the average lifespan of a human, which is interesting. He said when he first calculated that, he started asking people, how many weeks do you think the average human lives? And he got answers as big as like 200,000, which is about how many weeks humans have existed or something. But anyway, it's all about how we only have 4,000 weeks. And the more that you pack into the day, the less you actually take in and appreciate the moment. And so we need to find just those important things to do and then leave the rest of our time to be doing only the important things that are actually fulfilling us in those 4,000 weeks instead of rushing through those 4,000 weeks trying to pack in as much as possible, which means you don't remember any of it.
Oh, I will definitely run in and buy this book now.
I love it. So what would you say amongst your clients? I know that every person is different, but what's a common challenge that you find most of your clients have?
I would say the most common challenge is that people come with a problem that is external. They will never, I'm not generalizing, but most of the people, they will say, there is something that is bothering me. And usually something outside them, from the environment. And we quickly boil it down to discover, and as a coach, that of course it's how we see the situation, is how we perceive, is all the mapping that we have, we grow up with, that show us the situation in a certain manner. So for me, I think the most difficult for people is to acknowledge that they need support, emotional. It's always the fault of something else, external, and because of that. But it's okay. I mean, it's like a game. Everybody needs to play this game, because otherwise, if you hit the client from the beginning, no, it's about you, it doesn't work. You know, of course, you have to listen, and they will discover by themselves. It's how they perceive the world around them that makes the situation stressful or overwhelming or whatever it is. I'm not saying that everybody is nice out there and you have the best boss ever and everything is fine. No, of course, these triggers, you will find them everywhere, but still how you perceive the situation can change how you live the moment later.
100%. I found that my mental health it does correlate with circumstances. I don't have better mental health when my circumstances are better, and worse mental health when my circumstances are worse, unless it's the causal. when my mental health is better, that causes better outcomes, but the better circumstances don't cause better mental health, or worse circumstances don't cause worse mental health. It seems to be independent, seems to be inside me.
Yes, but you need a lot of self-awareness to be able to say these things. So I totally understand that when you are in that situation, you cannot think this way and say, yes, it must be within me. You will find everything. Your mind will find you whatever you want to prove you that it's from the external circumstances. And you know that the second point also that I wanted to say earlier, but I forgot, but now it came back to me, that happiness is half of it. No, the other way around, I will go better. 10% of it is from the external circumstances. So this also hit me when I read this article. It means that you can be happy because you need a house. Let's say you need a house and you think you will be happy if you get that house. Yeah. And very quickly, let's say you have this house, you will be happy for a few time, and then you will go back to the initial situation. And these people don't believe it. They say, no, it's impossible. If I have this house, I will be really happy. If I quit this job, I will be really happy. So sometimes they need to go through this to discover that they won't be happy. For example, I live in a country where a lot of people want to leave the country to go to Europe. And they will say, my dream is to leave and I will be happy if I leave. And I don't want to tell them, if you're not happy here, you will not be happy there. Always, this is something very important also when I listen to clients, to understand if it's the situation that they want to escape. That means there's something inside them that is not happy as well. It's not the circumstances.
100%.
So I don't know,
agree.
But because we have to be careful not to shock also clients to tell them, no, it's not the secret,
yeah.
It's you. So this takes time.
Yeah.
So if you have experience.
You can ask questions and see if they discover that for themselves. But yeah, you can never just tell people.
Yes,
and you might be wrong. We might be wrong anyway. So
exactly. Exactly. I like this, what you're saying. And I think this is the difference between a coach that will be really supporting and other coaches where they want to give solutions because it's nice to change the life of a person. And yeah, because
and people do come to us thinking that they want someone else to give them a solution, but they discover. Either they feel like we've given them a solution when they give themselves a solution, or they discover that it's within them.
Yes. I remember I did hypnosis certificate, and the woman doing the course, the training, she was telling me that sometimes when she does a hypnosis to some clients, they tell her the next session, you know, last week or last month, the hypnosis session did not bring me anything. And she Oh, interesting. So still, what did change during those 2 weeks or 1 week or 1 month? Oh, yes, I changed this, I changed that, I changed this, I now do this and this. And she was humble enough to say, oh, great, I'm happy that still my session didn't help you, but still. And this also spoke to me because we are not here for our ego to say we achieved this and this. It's the client that will discover by himself through our questioning or other methods.
That's right. We have a listener message here.
Hey, Jeremy West. Hey, Danya. I hope everybody's doing well. Hey, Danya, I heard you say that people in your country want to leave and go to Europe, some people. What country is that, may I ask?
Okay, so it's Tunisia.
It's in North Africa.
Yep. Danya, what is your strategy? What is your strategy for helping clients to make the necessary changes? Do you give homework, or what do you do with clients?
So I do give homeworks, but if they don't do it, it's okay, of course.
Yeah.
But I've asked them why they didn't do it. Why do they think they don't do it? You know, sometimes I know that it will take 10 minutes, and of course we can find 10 minutes in 2 weeks. So my question will be more, did you have resistance, or is it really that you forgot about it? Because it's important for them to understand why is it behind it. It might be that they don't want to give them a time to themselves, you know, or they're afraid to open something. So I give homework, yes.
Yeah. What kind, can you give me an example of one type of homework that you would give?
For example, now the first thing that came to my mind is if they think about their dream, if they think of the biggest dream, very spontaneously, what is all the but it cannot be possible? What are all the stories that pop up in their minds?
Yeah.
And is it like a feeling in their stomach, in their, I don't know, if they can feel it physically as well? Because this will tell us also some kind of resistance. It might be old beliefs. It might be stories parents were telling them. I give an example for me, for when I wanted to be a billionaire. So I couldn't say it out loud. It's impossible to say something out loud like this. And so I ask myself, where is the resistance? What are the stories around money that are blocking me? And then I remember what my father was telling me about money. Money is not good. People that have money are, I don't know, they're not helping others. whatever, you know. And this is kind of exercise. I ask them to write down all the stories, all the whatever passes their mind, because all this can be tackled and deleted. So this is kind of exercises maybe. And a lot of people, they tell me, no, we don't have any story. Because like, mentally, it's not possible to It's not possible for them to say, I want to be rich, but my unconscious doesn't want. It's not possible for them to understand this logic. But still, yeah. I push them to give me these stories or resistance and so on.
So when they're resisting and they say there are no stories like that, how do you get them to break through that and see those stories?
So if they don't do the homework, I do ask a question like, tell me, what are during your childhood? Does anybody in your family speak about money badly? Of course, I do this only when the goal is really around money. Yeah? I will not invent things. So, for example, I have one. She always tells me that she never gets money. She never receives money. Everything that she is doing is, at the end of the day, turns out that this is not good and so on. So then I really push, is there other situation in your family where there was, for example, a project that was broken or, you know, bankrupted and so on? But the question, I give a lot of question and a lot of suggestion. So they are not willing to choose the first answer I give.
Yeah.
Is this understandable, good, what I just said?
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. But also, I'd like to teach everyone, I've said it once before, I think, on the podcast, but here's a question that I learned when I was in sales, and my sales trainer taught it. So when someone says, when you ask a question and the answer is, I don't know, he always replies, okay, that's good. But if you did know, what would it be? And 9 times out of 10, they'll answer it that second time.
So when somebody says, I don't know, you say, if you did know, what would it be?
Yeah.
Ah, okay, nice. Oh, this is
funny how brains work.
It's counterintuitive. Nice.
It is. Really, what's happened when they say, I don't know, is they just haven't made the connection between their, my brain's not working right now. I don't know what the connection is called. Neural pathways, whatever. Anyway, what's one piece of wisdom, Danya, that you find yourself consistently giving to clients, maybe even friends, family, anybody that'll listen?
To positive observation. Oh, so for me also
change into rose-colored glasses.
Yes. So sometimes I use this, like put other glasses. But some people tell me, oh yeah, we know the story. You should see the life on the good side. No. This is not, of course, if you get hit by a car, you will not be happy and sink and whatever. No. What I'm just saying for me, I really apply this every day. And it's really to look at the good things as well and remind yourself all the good things that you have, because then you will train your mind to change the filter, and really without any efforts, you will see them more and more in your life. So for me, this is the most powerful, because of course we have the filter, and everybody has a filter, and this is normal. It's not a sign of weakness or whatever, but it's normal. There's so many information out there, it's impossible to process them all. And our brain is here to support us and to help us and to protect us. So they will look at the bad things, or in order not to protect you. So yes, go and change that filter to the positive things. It will change your life.
100%. And you said, of course, if you get hit by a car, you're not going to be happy. Well, yeah, maybe not happy about that. But I just, I'm in the hospital right now. Yesterday made 4 weeks from falling off my roof. Well, I fell off the top rung of the ladder. It was up on my rooftop, single level. Anyway, now First of all, I know that I'm very lucky because my doctor said a lot of people that fall from that height I never see because they die. But the people that I do are generally in wheelchairs and a lot of them can't talk anymore. And I have a back brace that I have to wear. But with that back brace, I'm fully able to stand up and walk and do everything. And I only have the back brace for 12 weeks. After that, apparently everything they're expected, the bone, there's 18 bones that are broken, but they're all meant to heal. I didn't even have to have surgery to, you know, replace any of them or anything. So I'm very lucky. I already see that that circumstance could have been a lot worse. But also, because of everything that I've practiced and learned in mindfulness and the power of now and everything that we've just talked about, and because I do a gratitude meditation every morning, I've actually been in higher spirits than normal during the month that I've been in hospital. So maybe because of some painkillers too.
Deep, deep admiration, because you are calling me and with a nice voice, and we cannot hear anything from what's happened to you. So really, I'm happy for you that it came at a moment where you have all the skills and the capability to overcome this.
And now, in saying that, I just want to make clear that, well, I have a mood tracker and my overall mood for the month has been higher than average. However, I have certainly had times during that month where I've broken down and cried and worried about the future and whatever. Part of what I've learned in mindfulness is when those times happen, I let them happen and I do cry and I experience the emotion, and it's amazing how much more quickly it goes away, which isn't the goal. The goal is just to experience it, but it normally goes away so much quicker when you allow it to be and you feel through it instead of trying to fight it and push it down and distract yourself and all these other things. So yeah, if anybody out there is wanting to hear more of the story, there's a whole, I think it's up to 8 video playlist of my recovery right now and everything at jeremywest.net. There's a link that says ladder recovery playlist. So anyway, that's my little story. That's, as I said, it's definitely, as you say, about the filter that you look at everything through, not about the circumstance.
And you said something important.
Lots of people who are rich and famous and not happy, and lots of people who have permanent disabilities and everything that are happy. It's about the way you look at it, not about what's happening.
And you said something important. Of course, we have moments where we are not good, even though we know everything. Mm. But like you said, is a matter of giving this emotion or this feeling the microphone and tell them, okay, what do you want to tell me now? I'm not going to bury you, because if I bury you, you will come like a monster a few months later.
In fact, in part 2 of that playlist, I cry on camera.
Oh my God. No, really, I'm in admiration and well done, because of course we have moments, but we overcome them quicker because we have the tools. And this is the message that I wanted to spread, that of course everybody has breakdowns, whatever, but if you have the right tools, give it a moment to be bad, but then grab the tools and go on, and you can go very high.
There's something that I read, it wasn't in 4,000 Weeks, it might have been, something that I read somewhere that I doubted. Oh, I think it's in Letting Go by David Hawkins, that it didn't sound right to me, but it has kind of happened experientially in this situation. And that is, even when you're mourning the loss of the closest person to you in your life, when the emotion comes, you accept it and allow it and feel the emotion, it's generally about 20 minutes and then it passes, as opposed to fighting it and pushing it down and trying to hide it, in which case it lasts weeks, months, years. And I'm not saying that it's gone forever after 20 minutes. I'm saying that episode seems to go away in 20 minutes, and then the next time it comes up, it lasts another 20 minutes and whatever, instead of constant when you're fighting it.
Yeah. But I mean, I will take the part of don't fight it. The 20 minutes
I can't say,
but not fighting.
And I'm not saying, I'm also not saying that always happens, but just continue not fighting it. Just feel it and experience it.
I totally agree.
Part of life.
I totally agree.
Fantastic. Well, I've got 3 minutes till my next episode. So just let me quickly ask you two last questions. These are just to make sure that we haven't missed anything important. So is there anything, Danya, that we started talking about that we went off on a tangent and you didn't get to say as much as you wanted to?
No, I think we went deep in many things, and I'm really happy that we read some amazing books that were amazing for both of us. So I really like that.
And I'll put those up, links to those books on jeremywest.net as well.
Yeah.
Is there anything about you, Danya, or your philosophy, or just in a survey of Danya Smita, is there anything I didn't even know to ask you that didn't come up? It would be a glaring omission about who is Danya Smita.
So I like to say that I'm really here to support. If there's any question, of course, they can send me. And another thing that is dear to my heart is to support people to self-promote themselves. Because there are so many people out there, they're doing an amazing job, but they're not speaking up for themselves. So speak up. Give facts, say positive things on yourself, to yourself in the mirror. Start with the mirror and then go to your boss, go to your colleague and say good things about yourself.
Yeah, there's already a golden rule and a platinum rule. I don't know what to call my rule, but it's the rule of self-compassion. Treat yourself the way that you would treat your best friend if they were in your situation.
Yes. And
all right, thank you, Danya. One last thing. Where those listeners who are listening and not just gleaning information, but saying, I need Danya in my life to help me move forward, where can they find you?
So you can just type Danya Smita on LinkedIn and you will find me.
DonyaSmita
on LinkedIn. And you can find a link where I book free calls. And we can have a chat and see if we are a right fit.
Fantastic. And thank you very much, Danya. We will see you again very soon.
Yeah, bye-bye. A nice recovery. Bye-bye.
Oh, and jeremywest.net to find me anytime.